25, 25. By the time we get to January 5th, like, you'll be like, I've been missing this. You'll be kind of revved up a little bit. We're going to start the year strong on January 5th. So next week's a big Sunday. 2 weeks, don't be here. And then this Saturday is normally our Saturday for With Love from Jesus. It's the third Saturday of each month. I don't know of a better ministry in the state of North Carolina that is serving more people and serving them in such a beautiful, comprehensive, holistic way as this ministry down the road here With Love from Jesus. So a lot of you serve there a lot of times, which is great. But we commit as a church to serve there the third Saturday of each month. It takes a lot of hands and people, so if you've never done that, we'd love to have you. This Saturday is the third Saturday, but they're shutting down for Christmas from December 19th to January 2nd. So don't go there this Saturday. You'll be all by yourself, which means our next opportunity to serve is January 18th, 2025. I don't know why everybody's not rushing to your phone to make sure you put that in, 1-18-28. So that's your next opportunity to serve. We'll remind you between now and then if you don't want to pull your phones out. When you pull your phone out in this church, I'm assuming you need something was said that was really important and you want to write it down and not forget it. You're not checking on other things. But y'all all right? Okay, all right. So two questions from last week. If you weren't here last week, it's okay. You'll catch up real quick. We asked these two questions. Number one, what does God want from me? And number two, what does following God look like for me right now? Right, so pretty big questions. The first question we answered last week, what does he want from you? He wants you. And that's true. Whoever you are, whatever's going on in your life, the number one thing he wants from you as a Christmas gift is your heart. And by that, we mean your trust and your life. The next question is a much different question. That's a very specific question of what would God want for you specifically. So that's going to be different chair to chair. Why are you sitting on the front row? You all right? Okay, you come late, you sit up front, that's how it works? Okay. Just make sure everything is okay. Maybe part of following God for you right now is to sit closer to the front. I don't know. Perhaps. We're going to continue this gift series, and we're going to answer those. We answered the first one last week. We're going to answer the second one. We're going to help you. I can't answer the second question for you. We're going to help you answer it for yourself by getting into a piece of this gift. The gift of Jesus, the gift of Christmas is that Jesus showed up. We could not get to God. God knew that, so he got to us through Jesus, through Jesus showing up on the earth. The whole scripture from Genesis is about the arrival of God through the body and person of Jesus. And yeah, he entered humanity fully. He became fully. You understand? We know from scripture, Jesus knows what it's like to be one of us. He got tired, right? He got worn out. He had emotions. He was a fully human. I can't prove it. I think he had bunions, right? I think Jesus might have had bunions. So he had the full human experience, tempted in every way. That's a crazy scripture. Jesus was tempted in every way. Think about that. Like, he knows what it's like. That's the beauty of Christmas, is that he showed up. It's a value for us as a church just to show up. You know, we have hard things happen in the body. Like, life is life, and you know, sometimes people don't know what to say. When somebody's going through a tough time, you don't know what to say. And I always remind people, there aren't magic words. I don't have some secret book when people are going through tragedy of here's what you say and this. Like, it's just showing up for people. I still have not forgotten the emotion. January of 2016, the day of my mother's funeral at my mom and dad's house. My dad had died a few years prior. My mom's funeral was about to happen. I'm just sitting at the house waiting for the funeral at my mom and dad's house. And just a weird, eerie feeling. And I can still remember the emotions of the car pulling up and Joy Bay and Chauncey Hatcher and Seth Helfer getting out of that car to come spend time with me and my family before the funeral. Now, I'm sure those three people, Joy and Chauncey, I had not known that long at the time. Seth I had known for a while. I cannot remember one word they said to me. I'm sure they spoke words and we had conversations, but I have no memory of that. What do I remember? I remember that they showed up. Right, it's a value of showing up, and sometimes who cares what you say? Just show up for people, because Jesus showed up for us. That's what we celebrate—not just this month, but every month. And he didn't just show up. Right, the phrase is "show up and show out." He didn't show out as a baby. He just sat there. There's nothing that he did of note as a baby. We don't even see anything from the life of Jesus until he's 12, and we get one little story, and then it's on to 30. So he just showed up. And then eventually he showed out by what? By defeating death on the cross, from raising from the dead, and then giving us a gift that we want to focus on this morning that is the most beautiful gift that's going to help you answer that second question, right? The scripture refers to it as the mystery of the gospel, right? So the gospel is the incredible news of our rescue and adoption. It shouldn't be a secret or a mystery, this gift, because it's in the word so that we know it for all time. So when this was written 2,000 years ago, it was a mystery of what God was doing, but it can't be a mystery today. You've got to know, if you want to answer the second question, what does following God look like in your life right now? You've got to know about the mystery of the gospel. Let me read it to you from Colossians 1. Now, Paul said, "Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant," the church's servant, the body of Christ. "I've become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness." You don't want half word. You want the fullness of the word. "The mystery that has been kept hidden on purpose for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to" who? To the Lord's people. That's you, right? You're one of them. Who are you? You're the Lord's people, right? Verse 27, "To them," the Lord's people, "God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery." What's the mystery? "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Not impressed, I see. "The glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you." Some of you buy that Christ is for you or with you, but you had no idea that Christ is in you. That's a completely different deal. The gift of Jesus was he showed up. The gift of how it changes your life is him showing out and taking residence inside of you. If that's news to you, I'm so excited to get to tell you this, because it's like an unopened gift. If you get the best gift ever, whatever that might be, on Christmas Day, none of you are going to struggle what to do with it. You're going to unwrap it and get it out of whatever box or bag it's in. And, you know, when people put gifts in the little bags, isn't that kind of lazy? Like, they just wrap a gift, right? You know, just put it in the bag with a tissue. Is that kind of weak? Nobody, if you love a gift, you use it, right? The mystery of the gospel is unknown in 2024 to a lot of Christians. They have no idea the hope of glory, the mystery of the gospel, that Christ came to earth, to die on a cross, to raise from the dead, and to live inside of you. All right, let's go back to our questions. Our two questions. If Jesus lives on the inside of you, Christ in me, then that's how you know what following God looks like specifically for you. I don't know that. Some of you want the pastor to know what Jesus is saying to you right now. I don't, and I won't, because he doesn't live inside of me for you. That's a different religion. If you got to come to me to get to God, that ain't us, right? Ours is Jesus lives in you, and you have access to him. Well, I don't have as much access as you do, Pastor. Problem. What is my professor's favorite word in college? Poppycock. That's poppycock. If you think I got a little more of Jesus in me than you have in you, that's a problem. There are no half portions of the Spirit. There are no partial portions. When you come to Christ, Jesus comes to live inside of you, and that's how you know what following God looks like for you right now. It's through that relationship, right? What does it look like to follow Jesus without the Spirit of Jesus in you? A mess. It looks like religion, because you're trying your best. Following means somebody's going somewhere and I'm following them, right? If you're just guessing, because Jesus is invisible as far as I know, I'm going where you go. I feel like left, right, If there's no Jesus in you, then you're just a wandering idiot, right? You're just hoping that you're doing the right, and you're discouraged, and you're disgruntled, and you're scared, because you're just not. Instead of me telling you what following God looks like in your life right now, it is Jesus inside of you that's going to steer you. And that's everything. That's relationship, not religion. And it's another one of our favorite phrases around here, training over trying, right? If you're just doing this on your own and you don't believe that the Spirit of Jesus lives in you, then you're going to do your best. And you're going to be applauded by the world for doing your best. Jesus is not clapping for you for doing your best. He wants you to quit trying and be trained to listen to the Spirit of Jesus inside of you. It is not something that you learn overnight. It is something you repeat, a muscle that you build over time to learn. First is to believe that the Spirit lives in you. Some of you aren't sure of the mystery of the gospel, that Jesus actually is inside of you. And he's not inside everybody when you're born. It's not a birthright. How does that happen? It happens through putting your faith in Jesus. Now, there's disagreement church to church and pastor to pastor of how the Spirit enters you. Some believe as soon as you put your faith and trust Him, the Spirit shows up. Some people believe it's through baptism, water baptism, or Spirit baptism without water. It doesn't matter, right? What matters is when you put your faith in Jesus and are baptized into Him and commit your life to Him, the Spirit of Jesus comes to live inside of you. If you don't believe that, then it's going to be really hard to train, be trained by the Spirit that you're not even sure is in you. I think the Spirit is living in some of you. He's only been living for a little while, and you're not convinced that that's real. You think that's all like Star Wars stuff. I will remind you that Star Wars stuff, the Force, was stolen from the Bible. George Lucas took that from us, right? So if you think this is all a little like Jedi mind tricks were stolen from Scripture. Training over trying. So our job, in order, if we go back to the questions, is to live by or yield to the Spirit. You know who gets on my nerves at the four-way stop? When I get there first, the other guy pulls up after me, and he's like, come on, I'm going to let you. You're not letting me go. I was here first. He thinks he's in charge. He's going to sit there and just like, why don't you go? Why don't you go? Like, dude's so insecure. He has no power in his life, so he just sits at four-way stops hoping to get to be the guy. Like, no, you're turning. No, it's not. I'll tell you. I know when to go. Yielding to the Spirit is never going ahead. I never want to see the Spirit of God in the rearview mirror, right? He's got to go first. I'm not going anywhere until He leads me, and He will lead you. We've seen it so many times in this church, even this morning in the beautiful testimony of Jonathan and Rhea. Some of you are on the verge. You're on the verge of making a decision, even today, to trust God, because you know as we walk through this, you're going to say, oh, I think that was God. He has been saying this to me, and you got to take action. Right? And here's the problem. Some of you are starting to take the action and there's not immediate results, right? For Jonathan and Rhea, who've been trusting God through this whole journey with his tumor, and it took a tree falling on their house and they were so discouraged. And that tree kept them from falling through with a surgery that would have been bad and a long recovery. And through that, they got a second opinion. And now they're going to have a much simpler procedure with a much easier recovery. So just now, how do you know that tomorrow in your journey, how do you know tomorrow isn't the day where you find out, oh, I see what God's doing now? You don't know. That's why it's all about just keep coming, enduring and sticking with it and believing that God is working even when it's really hard. So keep following. What does that look for you like for you right now? Yielding and living by the Spirit, the gift of God, that Jesus living in you. I'm going to give you three things that following God always looks like. Now, you got to get specific in your own life today, but I'm going to give them all three this service. Let's give them all three just right off the bat. So always, it's going to look like loving and serving people. It's going to look like transformation. It's going to look like self-denial. Now, culturally, we can get stuck on number one. That's what this is all about, love. Correct. But following God is always going to include all three of those things. Yes, you're loving and serving others. God is so specific with this. When God puts somebody in this room or another room on your heart, where you're praying and somebody that you didn't mean to think about comes to your mind, that is never random. I cannot tell you how many times God put one of you on my heart and I just reached out, text or call, hey, just praying for you. And they come back with, why? How did you know? How did I know what? Why did you text that? Like, how are you spying on me? I was like, you were on my heart, and that's all I do is I reach out, and then I find out the whole story. You have no idea how much I needed that in that moment. Isn't that weird? No, it's not weird. God, part of following God is He will, and this is not a pastor thing. This is everybody in the room that's a Christian. God will put people in your heart or in your path. Like, hey, this new person showed up at work just random. They just hired them out, and they're right beside me. That's not random, but I don't like them. Okay, God might call you to love some people you don't like. And it may be something that God wants to do in you through loving people. You got to figure who that is. I don't have your list, but God is putting people in your path for you to love and serve. When God puts somebody on your heart, reach out, because you have no idea how much somebody needs a simple anything, and He will use us to love and serve each other and our world. I'm talking about people that don't know. It's always part of what He's doing, following God. You got to listen to God. Now, we know, we're a smart church. We know the people at the stoplight asking for money out the window. We know most of the time that money is being spent on something that is not great, right? That's a fact. Most of the money you put out your window to the homeless guy, most of that is not great stewardship as far as how they're going to spend that money. Yet, Most of us have experienced a time where you know that truth and you feel something inside of you, which I would say is Jesus, calling you to give somebody money. You're not responsible for how they spend it. If God tells you to give that guy $5, I don't think you got an option. You listen to the Spirit and you do what he says. That's loving and serving. The transformation is just as important. What is that? That is Jesus forming himself in you. We're talking about transformation, not transaction. Jesus is, what does that mean? Forming. That means everybody in the room who's a Christian is on a day-by-day schedule to look and act more like Jesus. Like, oh, I'm so far from that. That's okay. That's part of transformation. It's a slow process. Well, how long does it take? I can give you an exact timeline of how long Jesus forming himself in you takes. Let me tell you when it starts. It starts on the day you commit your life to Jesus. Then he gets residence in you, control of you, and he starts to slowly form himself in you. How long? You breathe your last breath. That's how long transformation takes. Nobody finishes transformation in this lifetime. Isn't that great news? It takes all the pressure off. Some of you are so early in just Jesus forming himself in you. Most of what you do, say, and act, it doesn't look anything like Jesus because you're early in the process. We've all been there, right? So there's no pressure for you to be complete because nobody will be complete on this planet, ever. The 89-year-old guy who's been loving and following Jesus for 70 years is not done yet. Jesus is still forming himself in that guy. So we can all just come in here without the pressure of trying to look like we're being changed more than others. It's like, you're not comparing your change to anybody else. It's just, that's what God's doing in your life. He's changing you, and we love it. We feed off of it, right? We don't love when people say, I didn't believe in God 6 months ago, and now I do. Great. Nothing happened. Nothing changed. When we see Jesus forming himself in you, you talk differently, you live differently, you make different choices, you love people better. When Jesus is showing up in your life, in your mouth, in your family, in your heart, in your checkbook, and nobody has a checkbook. When Jesus is forming himself in you, that's what we get fired up about here. And we're doing that in a lot of ways. This is transformative. If I'm doing my job, then we are seeing transformation from the Word of God being preached. Monday nights are transformative for us. Two Monday nights every month. The second Monday night for the guys, the third Monday night for the ladies is what we call huddle. It's just a chance to talk about Jesus forming himself in us. This last Monday night, we had just an amazing night with the men, 34 men in this room, and we were unpacking God delighting in us. And it was I said argumentative first service. I was corrected. We disagreed. Right? We didn't argue. We disagreed, and we really learned from that. And it was transformative. God is forming himself in those conversations of how God really looks at us. What does he really see when he looks at us? The women's huddle is third Monday night, which is tomorrow night, last one of the year. Nobody's excited about that, but that's okay. They were first service, but they're doing a Christmas party, which is not the norm. It's just to end the year tomorrow night. So you're invited if you're a woman. You can get all the information on the screen on the website. They're doing an ornament exchange. If you're not into that, just show up. They'll give you one. Just be here on Monday nights because it's part of how we change. And let me tell you about January because it's a big deal. Second Monday night for men, third Monday night for women, except in January. Because the third Monday night falls on Dr. King's birthday, we're combining our men and women's huddle for the first time ever. Men and women in the same room. Oh, my goodness, it's going to be spectacular. That's January 13th. Men and women, only in January. Again, I don't know why everybody's not grabbing their phone and putting January 13th in their calendar. Come on, Makai. And we will have childcare because that's the only way that works. We do men and women together. So that is, we're about change and transformation. We're going to celebrate. So what does it look like for you to follow God right now? There's some level of change happening in your life and your heart, how you view the world, how you view yourself, how you view God. It never stops. We're always changing. The third one on that list just gets such a bad rap, and it comes out of the transformation. It is this idea of self-denial. We need to sit in that for a minute together because I don't think we have a great understanding of self-denial. And how does that happen? It happens through the Spirit living in you, inside you. The gift of Jesus, not as a baby, but the gift of Jesus that came, died, rose again, and left us with his Spirit to take residence in us. It will help you figure out what needs to be denied. And there's some safety And some of what God's going to do in you, even this morning, what he's calling some of you to lay down, you don't have to be embarrassed, all right? I prayed with a guy first service, like what God was dealing with in him. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. We've all got stuff we need to deny. It's just a fact. Why? Because we're human, and there's stuff in me that is not of God. So Jesus is forming himself in me, and the Spirit will lead you of, hey, this is some stuff you need to walk away from. Drop. This is some stuff you need to walk to. This is a action. This is a habit. This is a way of thinking, a mindset that is not of me. And he is so good at communicating that to you. You're like, oh, I don't know. All right, we'll get to that. But he's so good. Let me give you some examples. This is a lifestyle of self-denial. It's faith over feelings, right? When faith and feelings come together, what do you choose? If you were lied to and told your faith and feelings will always be in alignment, I'm so sorry they lied to you, because it's not true. Your faith and your feelings will not always be in alignment. When they're not in alignment, you have a choice to make. You can go with what the world says, go with your heart, right? If it feels good, do it. Or you can go with your faith, and you will never regret that. That's part of the self-denial. Let me give you some examples of self-denial. Let me give you a silly example first of me in my life trying to learn how to deny myself. For me, it's how I interact with this group of people. I don't even like to say the word referees. All right? And there's a lie in sports. If you're a basketball or mom, dad, soccer mom, whatever the sport, that, hey, we're Christ is forming us in himself in us, except for in the gym. I can't find that verse, right? So I've got to deny myself and what I want to say to bad refs versus still representing Jesus as a coach. And my problem is sometimes I premeditate my sin. I have the line figured out, and I haven't used this one. I'm not saying that I never will, but this is the line I want to use, right? I want to call the ref over during a free throw. He's right in front of me, and I've already got what I want to say. I want to just whisper in his ear, brother, if I was as bad at my job as you are at yours, I would hope somebody would tell me, you're welcome. It's a good line, right? Which would be, it'd be a quick technical. But I'm called to deny that. Let me give you a better, more real example. 2 weeks ago, we preached this message on Mary and Martha. We said we had an epidemic in our church of Marthas, just wanting to go, 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 which we're thankful for some of that spirit, but we've got to be Mary and just sit at the feet of Jesus. I went home that day. It was a rare day for me. I got home and nobody was there. My wife and kids all had stuff going on. So I got home, it was 1:30, and I'm so excited just to sit down and watch football. All right, I just love NFL, love fantasy football, so excited. And I felt, this may seem weird to you, I felt the Spirit of God saying, just don't turn the TV on just yet. That can't be from God, right? And I was like, I just preached this Mary and Martha thing, and I just like, it was so hard. And God was like, just give him, just sit with you. Just preached about sitting with me. Just sit with me for a minute. I was like, a minute? A minute? So I did. I did 10 or 15. I just sat and was like, okay, I'll practice what I preach. And it was this idea of, I just need you to be still. There's some things I'm trying to remove from you that you don't want to be removed. Okay, so I did that as long as I could stand it, and I got to the game. That night, Sunday night, December 1st, that night, I'm tired. The start of the week is big. I know I'm past where I should be in the bed, and I'm about to go to bed, and I just start scrolling, and I get on these reels, right? And I get a picture like outside of myself. Here's a man who's tired, who's sleepy, who knows he needs to be in the bed, and he's not going to bed because I just get a picture of myself outside of myself, and the word that came to my mind was addict. Like, I'm not enjoying it. I'm not looking at anything inappropriate, but it's not important. It's not fun. I'm just like in this death zombie. I'm like, what in the world? So finally, after 7 hours, I don't know, after some amount of time, I get to bed. I wake up Monday morning, December 2nd, spend time with Jesus, just sit at his feet. And some of this, it's not going to make sense to some of you. I'm just telling you, I knew for sure that the Spirit of God was calling me to get Facebook and Instagram off my phone. I just knew. How did you know? Did he say? He didn't say it. He just said it without saying it. I just knew based on those 24 hours and Mary and Martha, that's what I needed to do. So I took them off my phone. And the next day, man, that week was the most blessed, amazing week I've ever had. Wrong. I went through withdrawals. Like, I need to get my, right? And there was other temptations that I hadn't fought in a long time that just showed up out of nowhere. Like, this is a real thing. So if you think I obey God and everything gets easier, that's not always the case. The point is, self-denial is part of answering the question, what is God asking me to do? What does it look like right now? And here's the beauty of it. Some of you, and I know some of you in this room, you're using Facebook and Instagram in beautiful, godly ways. So religion is the pastor decides what goes, I'll draw the lawn, no Instagram and Facebook, or you're out of the church, right? That's religion. But that's not what we are. We're a relationship. The Spirit of God will tell some of you, use Instagram because somebody needs what you want to say. God's going to use that as ministry. And for others of us, for right now at least, it needs to be off the phone. I don't know. But some of you know, and it has nothing to do with social media. It's way deeper than that. Some of you have known for months. Come on. Some of you have known for years. There's a move, a relationship that God's causing you to start or end, a habit that God has called you to start or end, and you know it, and you just haven't. We got to follow through. There's a scary thing that's happening. The scripture refers to it as a hardening of the heart. When you feel God speaking to you and you ignore it, our heart, the word in scripture is callous, right? It builds up this. Ephesians 4 says people lose all sensitivity. So when God speaks to you and you ignore it, you start to lose some sensitivity. You do not want that. You want to be so sensitive to what God is calling you to do. And follow through is where it's all about. The more that you hear God and don't do anything, the more callous your heart becomes. It's a place you don't want to be. And so self-denial is a big piece of that. I'm not talking about fake self-denial. Right? Don't make up stuff. Like, I'm going to give up bananas for the 40 days of Lent. Do you like bananas? Not really, but I'm going to give them up. That's fake. Right? Let the Spirit lead you on what He would call you, and don't wait on a season or a holiday or a tradition. It's how we live. It's a lifestyle. Let me put you in three buckets today. Hope you can find yourself here. One, never has God communicated with me. Like, He doesn't talk to me. I don't know what you're talking about. Whatever that story was at your house, and fit, like, that's weird to me, right? There's a lot of us that have been where you are, and that's okay, but I'm telling you, I got children, my kids, two of my kids are in this room. What I want them more than anything is to be able to hear and follow. There's nothing more important to this life, being able to hear God and follow through with it. So if you feel like He doesn't talk to me, just hold on, He will. There are so many testimonies in this room that would say, I didn't follow God this many years ago, but now looking back, I see Him working all along. So He's communicating with you. You may not see it as Him today, but one day you will. So you're in the right place. We're so glad you're here. B, some of you would be in this bucket. He has, or He is, but. So you know He's speaking to you, or He has spoken to you in the past, or He is right now, but then you got all kinds of buts after that. And we use language like, well, I'm processing, or I'm praying through. You don't need to pray about it. If He told you to do something, there's no prayer required. You just go. We used to take kids back in the day as a youth pastor to Grayson Lake in Kentucky to cliff jump. Wasn't the smartest move, but it was really fun. About a 50-foot cliff. We'd drive in a van. We'd go through the woods. We'd come out on this rock. And here's what I never did. Kids would always go and look, go back. The ones that were going to jump usually looked once, back, and go. The more they looked, the more likely they were going to take the walk of shame down the trail because they just couldn't do it. You know what I never did in all those years of youth pastor, but I wanted to? When some teenager was up here like, I don't know. What I never did that I want to do, right? I never gave him the kick of support. And God won't either. God won't kick you. It's a faith decision. You know right now I can just end the message and go home and watch the game. Glad you brought that up. Some of you get sick of me talking about sports. I can't help it. You don't have to like sports to be a part of Relentless. And we talk about being a Panther church and all this and God's team and all that, and I'm joking for the most part. But can I be serious today, just today, if you don't know what's going on, if you don't know anything about the game or who we play, just today, know God cares about this one. All right, we're playing the Dallas Cowboys, and God hates the Dallas Cowboys. He does. He just does. So if you don't care about sports, just care today. That's all I'm asking. God won't force you to jump. So I was going to say, I could end this right now. Some of you know exactly the move that God's been calling you to make. You know, and you're doing very creative mental tricks to not make the move that God's been telling you to make for weeks, months, or years. You just don't have a choice as a follower of Jesus. When God speaks, you move. You don't look and count the cost and, well, what if, and play it out. Well, I don't know. If you know he told you to go, go. If he told you to stop, stop. You know what it is. Just follow through. Fear does its best work in hesitation. So we're trying just, if God's speaking, all right, Facebook and Instagram, I'll be honest, I miss it. But I was sure that God said that needs to be off my phone. He didn't tell me how long. So that's just where I'm at. So just bottom line, third group, listen to God and do what he says. That's what we're about. That's who we want to be as a church. That's who we're going to continue to be. You know how we've seen this play out in this church in the last 6 months? Is finances. We went through a capital campaign, kind of kicking and screaming. We didn't want to do a capital. I didn't want to do a capital campaign. And I've been so blessed and encouraged because it's been faith building. It's not been about money. For the first time, people at Relentless, some people at Relentless are trusting God financially, and they never have. And for some of them, they're like, this blows me away. God is just building my faith. For others, their story is, I'm being obedient financially, and my finances are getting worse. That can happen, right? Because there is an enemy that wants you not to have this interactive relationship. Your only job is to listen to God and do what he says and stick with it. Because we have an enemy who's an expert in helping you quit the day before breakthrough. Yeah, he's an expert at helping you just, I'm giving up. The right before you start to see the fruit of the seeds that you sowed 3, 4 weeks, months ago. Here's what I know in life. I can't control or change nearly as much as I used to think I could. There's one thing that's in my control. There's one thing that is almost completely in my control, how much I trust God. So we're asking the question, what does following God look like in my life right now? It's going to look like loving and serving people. It's going to look like God forming himself in you. Jesus coming alive in your life, and part of that is self-denial. So either God's not speaking to you, stay with us, hang on, or he is, and you got to follow through. You got to listen to God and do what he says. So we're a smart church in the 11 o'clock service. We're going to do a couple things at once here. We're going to open it up for prayer. If you know the God of the universe is speaking to your life, and we get so worried, but what if it's me? What if it's me and I'm putting God's name on it? Quit worrying about it. If you're wanting 100% factual proof that God is speaking to you, good luck with that, right? I can't prove that God told me to take that stuff off my phone. I'm confident. If you think, like, you can differentiate, does it seem like something that would come from God, or does it seem like something that would come from you, right? If it's like, hey, I feel like God's telling me to buy myself the most extravagant, crazy, luxurious gift ever this Christmas. God's telling me to do that. That doesn't sound like him. We have scripture, we have godly counsel, we have prayer. If God's calling you to love somebody or forgive somebody that's really hard for you to love or forgive, that doesn't sound like you. That sounds like God. We can help you differentiate. And sometimes that's just having somebody that loves Jesus pray over you, no matter where you are in your walk. So we're going to offer that to you. If you have something you'd like somebody to pray for you, you don't have to tell them any details. We're going to open up. If there's a decision you know that God's been calling you to make and you've been running from it, let somebody pray for you. And for some of you in this room, the biggest decision in life is to commit your life to Jesus and trust him, and you've never made that. You keep looking, right? And I want to kick you into the baptism, but I'm not going to do that. We're going to let you have your own journey. But if you need any prayer or help, that's what this time is for. I'm going to pray, and we're going to multitask. As we pray, if there's people up here, we're going to move you to the back of the room to pray for you, because if you're willing, we need some of you to help us set the room up for tomorrow night's Christmas dinner for the ladies. So as we pray, we can pray and set up tables. We're going to give you about 3 minutes just to see who needs prayer, and then we'll pray for you in the back. And then as the screen shows the diagram of how the tables are set up, if you want to help, then stick around and help. It'd be part of loving and serving. Maybe you got somewhere to go. That's fine. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the gift of Jesus living in us. God, I'm so excited for some in this room that have loved you and even trusted you, but they just don't have much experience in listening to what you tell them to do and to do it. Just give them faith and courage that they're not crazy, they're not making stuff up, that you're alive and active, that you speak, and they can trust you. I just pray your blessing on anything that needs to happen in this room tomorrow night and the week ahead. In Jesus' name we pray and go. Amen.